This is the EWN Radio Network.
And when we begin to identify ourselves as diseased or a diagnosis, it takes away from who we truly are. We are not our symptoms.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to this special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be surprised by what I've found that autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life Interrupted Radio. As always, I so enjoy spending my Friday evenings with you. I'm curled up here with a fabulous cup of chamomile citrus tea. I know you hear me say that a lot because it is one of my favorites. But I think it's a perfect way to start my Friday evening with you and a perfect way to start my weekend. I hope you have great plans for your weekend. I've got lots of fun things I'm going to do this weekend. In fact, I'm going to see a friend I haven't seen in a couple of years. Isn't it so much fun catching up with people that you haven't seen in a while? This week was a great week. I know the other week I mentioned that there were a few speed bumps, but this week was a great week. I hope it was for you too. I've gotten some great feedback from you, the listeners, on the little meditations that we do and the phrase, just for today, not tomorrow, but just for today. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to worry, but just for today, I'm going to be okay. So love that concept of just for today, not tomorrow, but just for today, I'm going to be okay. I'm thrilled to have our guest with us today because it's a topic that's dear to my heart. As some of you may know, that I do have an autoimmune disease, and there are times that I've shared with you that it's kind of knocked me off kilter at times, and other times that I'm feeling great. And that's what's so frustrating sometimes about our health is it's sometimes very difficult to make plans, shall I say. But Kristen McGeary, she is a holistic, comprehensive, and integrative and individualized healthcare expert, as well as being a speaker and a trainer. She's also an amazing author as well. What I like about her approach to healthcare is that it just offers a whole, seeing us as a whole person, not just a specific symptom, a specific problem, or a very specific label. But she loves to look at us as the whole person, what's going on as a whole person. And she speaks and shares on a diverse array of topics, including functional blood chemistry, paleo gut repair, the shocking reasons you're sick and tired, and how to achieve optimal health. And isn't that one of the things we all strive for, is optimal health? She has over 20 years of training and expertise in Oriental medicine, homeopathy, advanced craniosacral therapy, and somatic emotional relief. She also works with the brain and harmonizing our subconscious patterns to release those things that block us, as well as extensive lifestyle and nutritional expertise. So she's just a vast wealth of knowledge that we're going to tap this evening. I'm so excited to have her on because her latest book is Paleo Gut Repair, which helps us halt, heal, and prevent autoimmune disease. So Paleo Gut Repair, Eat Your Way to Optimal Health, Science-Based Results. So thank you, Kristen, for being a guest on Life Interrupted Radio this evening.
Thank you, Sharon, so much for having me and for that lovely introduction. And I want to acknowledge the incredible work you're doing on the planet. Thank you so much for having this show and bringing me on and all of your past guests and future guests to inspire and empower other women in the world to really find their truth. So thank you for that, and thank you for sharing about your own personal experience with autoimmunity. I think it's so valuable that your listeners hear that you're also working with your health and you're also striving to learn more. It's inspiring to hear you speak about yourself in that way, you know, from that vulnerable place. A lot of times we hide that from people, and it takes a lot of courage to share that, and I really appreciate that in you, so thank you.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it did take a lot of courage to bring out the fact that I do have the diagnosis of what's called dermatomyositis. And most people are like, huh? And that's exactly what I said when I heard those words too. But it does take a lot of courage to bring up. And Life Interrupted Radio has been so gratifying, because not only do I hear from so many people of the things that they've learned and ways they've been inspired by not only our health, but the things that we've talked about, everything from bullying to emotional eating to here today we're going to be talking about paleo gut repair and autoimmunity and all the ways that you work with us to release not just our physical health, but our emotional health, our emotions behind our health too. So I'm so excited to have you on. And I know you have you've had a very interesting journey to get to where you are today. Can you share that with our listeners?
I'd love to. And before I do, I want to acknowledge your listeners as well. I think a lot of people are drawn to your show because of their own personal stories and how their life was interrupted. And I think we are often looking for connection. And so for you as the listener, I want to offer a moment of acknowledgement and connection that all of our lives have been interrupted in some way, and often in a traumatic way, and to acknowledge the vulnerability in that, and that you're here and you're listening, and I'm excited to share my story with you in a way to honor human connection. So I have two significant interruptions in my life that I'd like to share. But first, I want to share that I'm an athlete and a dancer, and my life is really amazing right now. I live and I train at 7,000 feet in beautiful Flagstaff, Arizona. My home backs the National Forest. As a holistic healthcare provider, I have had the honor of helping hundreds and hundreds of patients find optimal health, and that's my passion. So I also have had this incredible opportunity every summer to work with dolphins and patients in a therapeutic setting. And that just fills my heart with joy. So I'm very healthy and happy and successful now, but it wasn't always this way. My first life interruption came when I was only 16 years young. I was driving on a road way out in the country. It was very early in the morning. I lived about an hour away from my high school, and I was driving in by myself, and I had a devastating car accident. My wheels caught some dirt on the side of the road, and I overcorrected as a new driver, and I crossed the small road and up an embankment, and I rolled my car three times, landed upside down. I remember the roof of the car smashing down on the headrest of my driver's seat, and I was scrunched into this tiny ball, and I was shaking. That moment was pivotal for my life. I managed to get out of the car on my own. This was a deserted road. And I worked my way out through one of the doors that was leaning against the earth and dropped to my knees. And that moment, I can't really discern my exact thoughts. It was kind of a prayer. It was a kind of surrender and a feeling of relief all wrapped in one. So I survived that accident. And from that, something in my core, my perspective of the world and myself began to shift in ways that I didn't understand at that time. So move forward for 5 years, and my second life interruption happened. I was very, very ill. I had been a competitive bodybuilder and a pre-med student. I had worked in the emergency room as an emergency medical technician, an EMT, and was very ambitious and excited to learn medicine and help people. And I was put into bed, basically. I found myself unable to function. I was eventually diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And I recall about 17 years ago on Thanksgiving Day, I get a little teary-eyed thinking about this. My son was 3 months young. I was a single parent, and I had excruciating pain all over my body with debilitating fatigue. I wasn't able to sleep well. I had severe jaw pain. I could hardly chew my food at times. I had these mysterious symptoms that I'll talk about a little later. Some of my mysterious symptoms were these terrible migraines. I gained 30 pounds. I would lose my words when I was talking. I didn't have good balance walking up and down stairs. Well, that Thanksgiving Day, I couldn't lift the fork to my mouth to eat Thanksgiving dinner with my family. I had such pain and spasming. That was a pivotal moment for me. I knew that something had to change. I had to find out what was really going on. In Western medicine, I was told by a rheumatologist, if you have fibromyalgia, that's it. You're going to have these symptoms forever. And they gave me Western drugs to try to help me with the symptoms, some of the pain and the spasming and the sleep issues. And I found I had tons of other effects. I won't even call them side effects. They're other effects of these drugs that hurt even more. So I knew it was time to find something else, and I began my search. And I went from doctor to doctor searching for answers. I spent over $50,000 searching for answers, and I didn't really get any. I felt hopeless. I explored Western medicine and what they had to offer me. I then began to explore alternative therapies and supplements and testing. I had been misdiagnosed by many Western medical doctors and chiropractors and naturopaths, and finally, this rheumatologist diagnosed me with fibromyalgia, and what I realized is that diagnosis was a relief, but the healing had to begin with removing. I'm peeling off the label on my forehead right now, like that action of I had to remove that label, that stamp that was on me in order to heal. And I began to do that when I found my first oriental medical doctor, an acupuncturist, who began to lead me down the path of healing. On that quest, I found out that no one had ever run a comprehensive lab panel on me. And the few doctors who had ordered just minimal labs didn't really know how to read them properly. I learned eventually, with the help of a holistic healthcare provider, that I had heavy metal toxicity. I had two different kinds of anemia. I had nutritional deficiencies. I had digestive issues. And I had a thyroid problem that no one had tested. No one had ever talked about any of these things to me. So I was shocked. I was frustrated. I was discouraged. But now I had some answers. And with answers, I believe knowledge is power. And having answers, it can motivate appropriate action. So with a few sessions, treatments, dietary changes, I was empowered, and I began to notice some relief, and I felt hope for the first time. It was so exciting, and I could look at my son and have the energy to take him to the park and play. We could knit together. I didn't have so much spasming. We could play together. I could use my hands like I used to be able to. So as my energy increased and I got more and more answers, I became committed to learning all I could so that I could share my success with others. I had known since I was two, in my clinic, I have a picture of this. When I was 2 years young, Sharon, I have a picture of taking my grandmother's pulses on her wrist with a stethoscope.
Oh, amazing.
Now, some of your listeners may not know, but in Oriental medicine, we take pulses on the wrist. So I was raised, my aunt was a nurse, and I knew that the stethoscope was to listen to the heart on the chest, but something in me was going to the wrist to listen to the pulses. And to me, that I have that picture framed because it's such an amazing reminder that sometimes the answers are right in front of us. I didn't know as I was growing up exactly what kind of medicine I was going to be involved in, but I did know this was my path, and I wanted to help people in this way.
We need to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more from Kristen about once she peeled off this label, and I can so relate to that, the getting smacked with a label on your forehead, and that's the only thing that you're told about, and the only healing you're offered, well, I won't say healing, the only path that you're led down. So we're going to talk to Kristen when we get back from this short commercial break about once we peel that label off our heads, what are the next steps to our real healing and our really finding the life of our dreams? So we'll be back in just a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Back, everyone. We've been talking to Kristen McGarry, who is an individualized healthcare expert. She takes from all the different types of medicines and trainings and holistic opportunities that are out there to offer her clients the best in care. She likes to view us as complete people, and I love that. It's so rare to find someone that looks at you as an entire and complete individual to begin to diagnose and understand what's really going on in your whole system, not just your physical system, but your whole system, the system that even you work in and play in, and the relationships you have, I have found, are so critically important besides just our physical body, because all of those impact us. Before we had to break for that commercial break, we were hearing her story, and what an amazing story that is, and how she found her life calling. And one of the critical things that I heard, because I could so relate to it, is this idea of having a label being put on your head. And I remember when I was first diagnosed with "you have," and it's like ownership. It's placed right in your lap as if it's ownership coming from an authority voice. And I, being a word nerd and a linguist myself, a communications expert, my first response to the doctor was, "No, I don't." they looked at me and just thought that I was refusing to be living in reality, that what was my issue, what was wrong with me. And the reason I said, no, I don't, was because I didn't want ownership of it. I view this two different ways. One is someone can say, you have cockroaches. Okay, well, that's great, and I want to extinguish them. I want to get rid of them. You know, it's not great that I have them, but my motivation is not ownership of them. When someone says, I have, the word have is so critical here. Exterminator comes and says, you have cockroaches. Okay, not happy, but we'll do everything to get rid of them. However, when another type of authority figure, let's say the medical community, says, you have, all of a sudden, too many of us accept just 100% complete ownership of that. It can lead us down a very difficult spiral when we just allow that label to be popped on our head and we accept it to be forever. Let's get back to Kristen and see what she has to say about this idea of being labeled something and how it can affect our recovery and how it can affect the rest of our lives.
Thanks, Sharon. You bring up an excellent point, really important point for people who have had their life interrupted with illness or a diagnosis. There is this idea of ownership and identity. And when we begin to identify ourselves as diseased or a diagnosis, it takes away from who we truly are. We are not our symptoms. We are not our disease patterns. These are just an expression of our mind and our bodies. They're not who we ultimately are. And I love your perspective. I share it with my patients as well. When people say my migraines or my Hashimoto's thyroiditis, or my MS, I educate them about this very topic of ownership and identity. So rather than owning it, I like to reframe it in my language, and I begin to look at symptoms as the language of the body and mind. And these symptoms can be interpreted. This language can be interpreted. The body truly speaks the mind. And when I say the mind, I do not mean that people are intentionally thinking themselves sick. That's not what I'm talking about. That would be a real misunderstanding of what I'm speaking to. What I'm speaking to is the subconscious mind, that which we are not aware of, that which is in the back of our minds in our dreams that we're not conscious of. And what neurobiologists are showing us, what we're learning from neuroscience, is that the subconscious runs about 95 to 98% of our lives, meaning what we think, how we react, what we feel is often coming from the subconscious. We are often on a kind of autopilot. Even biochemically, our senses are taking in information all the time, and we can have a biochemical, a physical reaction to a stimulus in our environment, to a stimuli in our environment, and not understand that it's a subconscious pattern that got triggered that is promoting that reaction. And often, we're not even aware that the reaction is occurring in our physical bodies because it's chemical. Why do we have, say, depression or anxiety? What are the triggers for that? There is an actual chemical basis for that. And when we smell something, or see something, or hear something, or taste something, or touch something, we can have these triggers, and it can impact our immune function. And Sharon, I want to share with you that fibromyalgia for me was autoimmune. And I didn't understand that till years later when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. That's the end part of that health journey for me was being diagnosed with an autoimmune disease and now being 90% healed from that. And I believe that my body is completely capable of 100% healing, that I no longer have to experience symptoms and stress around that diagnosis and that disease pattern. So as I acknowledge the language of my body and interpret the language of my body in a very unique way, I can then heal. So I heard you asking for some tips. Would this be a good time to share some tips that helped me?
Yeah, absolutely. Some tips that we can take away. I wanted to talk just for a quick second, though, about this idea of triggers.
Okay.
And then we'll go into the tips. Because triggers, so many of us, as you said, run on autopilot and are even unaware of when we're triggered. All of a sudden, it doesn't have to be a negative. I mean, I can think of times when I'm triggered into a happy memory. I smell chocolate chip cookies, and I think of my Aunt Myrtle.
that is a trigger.
That's the kind of thing that Kristen was talking about with triggers, is it can, they run the full spectrum. They don't have to be all about a particular health issue. So I just want people to understand what a trigger is and how they can affect us in so many ways, to understand that they're both positive and not so positive at times.
Yes, exactly. And often we're more aware of the positive ones. I think our culture supports...
Oh, because
support,
they give me such a nice warm feeling.
Right, exactly. So we're like, oh, that feels so lovely. And we tend to appreciate that and even crave them. And that's not a bad thing. But it's also very important in my understanding, my experience working with hundreds and hundreds of patients who've gotten well, is to begin acknowledging and honoring the other kinds of triggers that have brought our bodies to communicating so loudly with symptoms or disease.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's understanding all types of triggers and why they happen is to bring us bring awareness to us.
Exactly. Exactly. I think for me, just to get personal for a moment, whenever I feel an emotion, there's often a trigger. Whether that emotion is happy or negative or unhappy or frustrated or whatever, there's some kind of trigger. So for me, my path is to explore both sides, both kinds of emotional triggers, to go back and honor the root. And often it's from my past. Sometimes it's a legitimate trigger from a present occurrence, but often there's a thread that tails back to somewhere in my past that predisposed me, so to speak, to be triggered to this current event or current situation or current person or emotion. So my practice is being aware and mindful of those emotions, honoring all of them as important to express. You know, when you are feeling, you are healing. And it's important to honor those feelings. So I trace that thread back to its root. When did I first experience that emotion? When did this particular trigger first impact my life? Maybe I was 8 and I remember this thing when I was 8 and I was in the garden with my dad and he said this one thing to me and I remember feeling this way. Wow, I'm feeling that way again in this moment. How interesting.
Yes, when we begin to understand what's underneath our thoughts and then their corresponding emotions with those thoughts, it can be quite powerful when we begin to understand. And as you said, not only follow the thread back to where it possibly began, but then also following the thread back forward and seeing the other ways that it's manifested in your life. Maybe not just when it was eight. I'm thinking of times that I can remember that what I'll say was, in my mind, the beginning, and then I'll follow that thread out, oh, and then there it was at 11, and oh my goodness, maybe it popped up again at 18, and how it plays out this dance throughout the whole life, throughout your life.
And the great news is that negative triggers that could cause us stress and pain and disharmony in our bodies and our lives can be harmonized. They can be diffused. The triggers can be diffused in such a way that they no longer create a reaction. And instead, we can react with mindfulness. It is a chosen action rather than a reaction. And that particular philosophy is something I learned when studying with Dr. Darren Weissman, who is the creator of the Lifeline Technique. I always love to give my appreciation to him as such a powerful being on the planet, sharing a really lovely gift of the Lifeline Technique. And I'm so blessed to have him as a dear friend. So I wanted to mention that in case any of your listeners are curious about Lifeline. I know later in the show I'll share my website, and I have information about that there. One thing I want to bring up, Sharon, is we're talking a lot about the subconscious, which to me is foundational to health, optimal health and wealth and successful relationships and peacefulness in our lives. It's so fundamental. But there are a couple other essentials that I found on my path to healing, and now I teach my patients, that I think your listeners will really find a great take home.
Oh, wow. And let's come back to that. It's going to have to be one of those cliffhangers, everyone, because I'm up against the clock here, and I got to take a commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to find out what those essentials are from Kristen. We'll be back in just a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Well, luckily, that was just a short commercial break there, Kristen, so we can get right back into this. You've got me hooked here on finding out these essentials. We've been talking about the subconscious as being foundational, but you mentioned, you intrigued us before the commercial break about these essentials. What are they?
Yes. So these are my 8 essentials to optimal health, and I found these to be the transformational factor in my own healing. Along with the modalities I mentioned, especially functional blood chemistry analysis, because that really saved my life. And it is a window into your future health. It can find disease states years before Western medical doctors would diagnose you. So besides some of those modalities, these 8 essentials were pivotal in my healing. So the first one I would like to mention is breathing. This is
a
free resource. It's a free resource, and we do not take advantage of it. And it is very, very common. What research has shown is about 90% of people who have autoimmune diseases are shallow breathers. And wow. Breathing deeply and mindfully oxygenates your entire being, which is essential for healing and for survival and for thriving. So breathing, what science has shown us is breathing is very, very important for our health. And I loved the commercial break and the mindfulness in action, because breathing is a kind of mindfulness in action.
When I remind myself to take a deep breath, or two or three or four or ten, you feel so much better instantly. It's amazing how fast you can shift when you take a couple of deep breaths.
Yes. And it's not just recent science that is saying, oh, this is a good idea. Yogis, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, have been teaching healing through the breath. Now, that may seem anecdotal, but it works, and it stands the test of time. Breathing has been foundational in balancing the mind and the body for thousands of years. So that's one tip that is a free resource to everyone listening right now, is taking a deep breath. And Sharon, would it be okay if we all just took a deep breath right now?
Oh, absolutely. Let's take two or three.
Okay, let's do that. Everyone listening, please take a deep breath through your nose, filling your belly all the way up to your chest, and slowly, gently, lovingly allowing the air to gently seep out of your nose, out of your body, a complete exhale. The breath is life. So that's tip number one. Number two
is
water.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
That's a great tip. I do want to share. Well,
yeah,
I do want to share with the audience that understanding why we had that fantastic long exhale is the exhale is where the body relaxes, and so that's why exhaling is as important as the inhale. Oftentimes, people say it's getting the air in, but when we honor and enjoy letting the air release, that's when our body just relaxes again. So I just wanted to share that. And let's get on to tip number two, where you mentioned water. I'm a fan of water, too.
Water. And this is mostly a free resource. It depends where you live and the type of water you have access to. Our bodies at any one time can be made up of about 70 to 85% water. We need water for basic metabolic cellular function, for each one of our cells to make energy, to regulate our blood pressure, to balance our blood sugar, for our heart to beat, for our brains to function, for our digestion to work, for our immune system to work, for our endocrine hormone system to work. We must have water. And a simple way to figure out how much water you need is to take your body weight in pounds, divide that by two, and that's the amount of ounces you need daily if you're a couch potato. Now, if you drink coffee or tea or soda, if you work out, if you leave your house and drive somewhere, if you have any stress, then you need a little more water. So that's a basic general baseline for people. Now, I have a lot of people who ask me about the kind of water they drink, or when I'm analyzing their labs, I find a lot of dehydration. And I ask people, how much water do you drink? And they say, oh, wow, I drink lots of water. I drink 2 quarts a day. And for their body weight, that may be appropriate. But then I ask the question, what kind of water are you drinking? And if they answer, well, it's filtered from the grocery store, then I know it's most likely reverse osmosis. And what the latest research is showing us is for some reason, reverse osmosis water is more difficult to absorb, to get into our cells. And I find people are dehydrated often, even if they're drinking a lot. So the type of water that you drink is also important. I advocate for the cleanest, healthiest spring water that you can get your hands on. I'm very, very blessed and fortunate to have a whole house water filter in my home. People think about drinking water, but they don't often think about bathing in it. And our skin is the largest organ in our body. And we are absorbing the chlorine that's used to keep the water clean and the fluoride that's often added and the residue of pesticides and chemicals and pharmaceuticals. We are absorbing this through our skin. So drinking healthy, clean water is very important. Spring water, if possible. I like to call certain water wild water. If you live in a clean area and you have access to a fresh water spring, magnificent. If you don't, you may consider investing in a carbon filter that slowly filters the water. If it's too fast, it doesn't get all the good bad stuff out of it. You'll need to clean that filter often. You'll need to replace it often. There's a lot I teach my patients about water, but the basics are drink more healthy water. Consider getting a filter on your shower or your bathtub so that you're showering in healthy water so that your body has the water it needs to flush toxins naturally. People spend thousands of dollars on expensive cleanses and they forget to drink healthy water, which can support the body to naturally detoxify, to naturally balance and replenish what it needs. So that's the next tip.
So we've got breathing and water. Tip number three
is food. And I educate my patients to be an informed consumer. So food is medicine in my world. And it can be a challenge in our current culture. Society and the media promotes fast food, fast cars, fast drinks, very quick satisfaction. But I believe food is medicine. And when we bring our awareness, our mindfulness to what we're putting in our mouth, when we think of it as medicine, we have a choice. And that choice impacts our health, not only in the moment in terms of balancing our blood sugar or not, or giving us brain power or not, but it also influences our health in 5 years and in 10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. So it can help people shift symptom patterns and immediately, as well as prevent disease in the future and suffering. I really love to help people, support people to alleviate their suffering. Why suffer? Why choose suffering? We'd never consciously do that. So as we become an informed consumer and we begin reading labels and looking things up like, what is this natural flavoring that's been added to things? And what is this maltodextrin that comes from GMO'd corn? Are these whole natural foods? I like to educate my patients to shop the perimeter of the health food store because that's where the fruits and veggies are. And that's also where the meats are. The healthy stuff, it's all the packaged junk that's on the inner circle of the store that I like to encourage people to avoid as much as they can. So that's my tip around food and finding food as medicine. I do a lot of coaching and support of my patients around food. I even go into kitchens and take people shopping and help them replace things such as gluten and dairy and soy and GMO corn, things that their bodies are communicating doesn't work for them, but they don't know what else to eat. So I help them find simple replacements that taste wonderful and also satisfy their cravings, satiate their body, balance their blood sugar, give them a bunch of brain power so that their bodies can really begin to heal or prevent disease patterns in the future.
Oh, and I have to share with the audience right now that when, in a little bit we'll share Kristen's website, but when you get to her website and you join her list, you'll get this amazing raw chocolate mousse recipe. I was going to say to die for, but that's the wrong words.
To live for. It's to live for.
It's amazing. So we've got tip number one is breathing. Tip number two is water. Tip number three is food. And tip number four?
Rest. Rest is tip number four. So often people have challenges with sleep, and sometimes they don't even know it. And they may just wake feeling groggy and not well rested. Or they may be waking in the middle of the night a couple of times, or they may be getting up to pee. That interrupts your sleep. And it shifts your biology. It changes the chemicals in your body, which can either support healing or not support healing. Now, some people focus a lot on sleep, and they know they have a sleep issue, so they're working on sleep. But then they go during the day, and they never stop to rest. So in our culture, I think that rest is also very, very important to optimal health. To take a moment in your busy day, the go, the rush, the deadlines, the picking up the kids from school, the making the dinner, the this deadline and that deadline at work and working late into the night, to take a moment to pause our life and to have a break. And I support people to go out in nature when they rest, if possible. If you're at your desk and you can do a 5-minute rest and do some deep breathing and turn the computer off, close your eyes, and just have a rest, it literally resets your body. After 90 minutes of work or 90 minutes of reading, we naturally want to go in to an alpha state. It's a brainwave state of regeneration, of resetting things. And if we override that again and again and we don't allow just a few minutes of rest, then eventually it wears down the systems of your body. And your body begins to speak with symptoms. So rest is the next tip. And to just take a couple of minutes every day or a couple of minutes every hour or every few hours to pause and press reset, it can make all the difference in your healing. Another free one. It's a free resource. Rest.
Absolutely.
So I know for me, sometimes it doesn't always feel free. Like there's a cost to rest, right? Because then something doesn't get done.
But I've come to understand.
Yes, exactly. I know I've struggled with this in the past, so I can really relate to you as a listener if that's what comes up for you. Like, I don't have time to rest. I really relate to that. And I found when I write it in my book, in my diary, in my calendar, that it's more likely to happen. And I get myself out into my backyard, or I was just traveling. I spoke in L.A. on a health panel recently, and I got myself out to the ocean on purpose, with intention, with awareness, mindfulness, to have a rest. And it recharged me. And I just believe nature and rest go hand in hand. So if you can do it, great. If you're feeling challenged by that, then do it at your desk and close your eyes and imagine a beautiful place in nature for just a minute. Set a timer if you need to. Allowing yourself, giving yourself the permission to rest in our busy culture is what I call an act of self-love.
Oh, it is. It is. And as we're talking about rest and time and calendars, I want to make sure we get the other four in, because we're down, I can't believe it, we're down to just the last few minutes here. I want to make sure that we get our other four tips in. So tip number five after rest is?
Exercise. So not long-distance exercise. That causes a lot of oxidative stress. The latest research is showing, it has proven, that 3 minutes a day of high-intensity interval training can change your metabolism. It can alleviate insulin resistance, which is a form of diabetes or prediabetes. It balances hormones, stimulates the brain, and actually makes you more intelligent.
Wow.
It does more, but I'll keep it at that. So exercise, and for a short period of time, not 45 minutes necessarily. Some people do well with that. I usually can tell by looking at their labs what kind of exercise they need. But always talk to your doctor before you start a new exercise program. But just 3 minutes of a quick bike ride or running in place or jumping jacks can do all the world of good for you. And doing that in the morning helps balance your cortisol levels rather than later at night. But get it in when you can. So that's the next one.
Okay. So exercise. I love this idea of just short, quick bursts. I think we can all find something under 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Well, the next tip is owning your power. And I love this. Owning your power is about saying yes or saying no from a grounded, centered place. So speaking your truth from your heart center. What is your truth? Getting to know what your truth is. A lot of us tend to be people pleasers. And we say yes when we really want to say no, but we don't want to be rude. Or we don't want to be judged as selfish. So I educate my patients about owning your power. So for the listener out there, own your power. Find out what are your yeses and what are your noes.
And I like to say, know the cost of that yes. If you're saying yes to something, what else do you say no to? And too often, it's the no's are to ourselves and our health or our family. And so know the true cost of that yes before you say yes to something.
Yes, beautifully said. The next tip is laughter. Joy.
My favorite.
Finding joy, surrounding yourself with people who make you laugh, or watching silly movies or comedians, or loving silly banter with your best friend or your partner. Laughter is incredible medicine. And what science has shown us is it literally changes our biochemistry. It changes the chemicals in our body and the receptor sites on our cells for those chemicals. It actually makes us healthier and happier. So laughter and joy is the next essential to healing and to optimal health. And the final essential to optimal health is commitment. Commitment to love yourself enough to give your body, mind, and spirit what it deserves to heal and remember wholeness, your wholeness now, regardless of a symptom, regardless of a traumatic situation. I learned from a medicine man many, many years ago. We were sharing patients. I would do certain things with them, and he would do other things, and we were learning from each other. And he said, Kristen, I never treat anyone who's sick. Never. I only work with whole individuals. And thank goodness I learned that at the beginning of my training in holistic healthcare. I've kept that with me and have used that lens when I work with my patients, that I am looking and working with someone who is a complete whole person right here, right now. And how can I mirror wholeness and remind you of your wholeness now? So commitment to yourself, commitment to self-love, commitment to your health, to your body, to your life, to your mind. Commitment does not mean selfish. A lot of times we make this internal shift and we play with those words, but that's not what I'm speaking to. Although some people may feel selfish in the beginning when they begin taking care of themselves, they think, oh my gosh, I'm taking too much time for myself. I shouldn't do an extra yoga class. I shouldn't get a massage. I shouldn't spend $10 extra on organics. I need to be doing these other things for other people. Well, what I've learned as a mother and a wife and a healthcare provider and an athlete is that if I don't take care of me, a lot of the rest of my life is not being handled or balanced very well. And I think
Yes, and I want to throw out the idea of if we don't take that 5 minutes now, 10 minutes now to take care of ourselves, if and when down the road something, just think of what if something did happen, an illness or whatever, how much time that really takes to recover,
and money.
To regroup, and money. That life interruption of the 3 minutes of exercise, the water, the breathing, all of that now is small compared to when and if something else happens down the road. So what do they say, that doing things in the smaller now are better than having to face the bigger life interruption down the road. And I want to make sure we have time. I want to make sure that we have time to get the audience to know about your website, about this really great free gift you have. The 5 shocking reasons that you're sick and tired. I love it, by the way. You've got that series of questions in there. And I was reading those questions like, oh, goodness, I'm answering yes to almost all of those. Oh, boy. How can I get that report? Have the same eye-opening, oh, boy.
Well, the oh, boy also means you're now becoming an informed consumer. And it means you're bringing more awareness to your body and your mind and your health. And some people say, oh boy, I answered yes to all these questions. And I think, congratulations, you're bringing greater awareness. And that is healing. That is a form of therapy, to have that awareness and to take on the perspective of, what a relief, I'm learning. I'm learning something new. Oh. So I'm very excited to share my website with you and the free gift. My website is KristinMcGarry.com, KristinMcGarry.com. You can find the free gift there, or this free gift for your listeners is KristinMcGarryFreeGift.com. /life interrupted.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
You can also find me on Facebook. If anyone wants to communicate directly with me or they have questions, they can go to my Facebook business page, which is Empowering Balance with Kristen Grace McGarry, EMPOW. ERING Balance, BALANCE, with Kristen Grace McGarry. And Grace, my middle name is GRAYCE, just in case.
Just in case. Well, and I'll be sure and have that on Life Interrupted Radio. So if anybody didn't have a pencil with them and a piece of paper, they'll be able to pop over to lifeinterruptedradio.com and get Kristen's URLs there to be sure.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.